I'd like to read three passages of Scripture today. The first is in the first epistle of John, chapter 2. John's first epistle, in chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 13. And it came to pass in the evening that quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round the camp. And when the dew that lay round it was gone up, behold, on the face of the wilderness there was something fine, granular, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw it and said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which Jehovah has given you to eat. This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded. Gather of it every man according to what he can eat, an omer, a pole, according to the number of your persons. You shall take every man for those that are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some much and some little. And they measured with the omer. Then he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little wanted nothing. They had gathered every man according to the measure of his eating. And Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until the morning. But they did not hearken to Moses, and some men left of it until the morning. Then worms bred in it, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man as much as he could eat. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And then finally in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. For I have no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how you get on. But all seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. I want to this evening say something with the Lord's help about spiritual growth. When it comes to the natural world, growth is something that we would consider very normal. Children particularly are very obsessed with growing and growing taller and being grown up. When we had a season ticket to Marwell Zoo, the first thing that my children would always want to do is run over to the giraffe enclosure where there was a life-size picture of a giraffe, and next to it was a height chart, and they wanted to measure themselves, even if we'd been quite recently, to see whether they had grown any taller in the months between our visits. Kezzy said to me the other day, she said, I can't wait to be grown up, because then I can tell you off. And we had a conversation about that. But children are very, very obsessed with growing and being grown up and growing taller. But when it comes to our spiritual life, there also should be spiritual growth. From the moment that you are saved to the moment you leave this earth here, whether it is from the Lord coming to gather his people together, or whether it is through the passing through the veil of death, there should be found in each and every believer spiritual growth. And how important it is that each and every one of us are growing more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not in the Bible the idea that we can improve ourselves, or that this is a sort of a 10 steps to be a better person, or that this is personal improvement of any kind. When we talk about spiritual growth, it is the Holy Spirit working in your life to form you after Christ and to deepen your relationship with the Lord Jesus and with our God and our Father. We're never called in Christianity to work ourselves up into a position. We're never called to work our way towards anything. What we are called, we have been placed into a position as found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says we are to produce a manner of life in accordance with the blessing that we have been placed into as found in Christ. Colossians says that we are to live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus. And we are to grow in the knowledge of our God. We have a responsibility to walk down here in accordance with the blessing and the position and the place we've been brought into. We have a responsibility to grow, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And John here in his epistle, he presents, if you like, three stages, I suppose, of spiritual growth or spiritual maturity. We have fathers, we have young men, and we have little children. And we read John recently in Worthing, and I didn't realise quite how challenging a book John's epistle is. Because when I read this, and we read this together, it was a real challenge to my heart. Am I as far along in my spiritual pathway, in my spiritual maturity, in my relationship with the Lord Jesus, as I'd like to think I am? Because when I look at this, you look at it, you've got children, you've got young men, and you've got the fathers. And I've been a Christian for 20 years, and you might think, look at it, and you might go, well, perhaps I've moved on from being a little child in the faith. Maybe certainly don't consider myself to be a father yet, but maybe a young man is something that I would consider myself. But then you actually look at what John is saying. He says, young men, you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abides in me, and I have overcome the wicked one. It was a real challenge to my heart, and I don't want to go through this bit verse by verse, but just to point out, what an opportunity we have today to evaluate where we are in terms of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Are we as far along as we like to think we are? Are we as far along in our spiritual maturity as we could be? Have we grown as much as we should have? And it's a challenge. And John writes here the challenge of, if you like, the criteria for each stage of growth. And have I really given the Holy Spirit place in my life? When I've gone through the experience that I've gone through and the experiences that you've gone through, can you say you've grown as much as you should have or as much as you could have? That is the challenge that John raises here. And I think the main reason that perhaps we haven't grown, or I haven't grown, let me talk to myself more than anybody else in this room. Perhaps the main reason that growth has not occurred in such a way that it should have is because I value the things of this world far more than I value the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at what John says. He says, love not the world or the things of the world. Do we, dear believer, do you have a real heart and a desire to see Christ formed in your life? Do you have a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have an earnest longing to see the Lord Jesus Christ manifested in your life, to grow in your maturity and your relationship with Him? That's, if you like, the key to spiritual growth. It's a heart and it's affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk, if I may, later on about two things which can help a Christian to grow in their faith. Reading the Bible and praying. But those two things are worth nothing unless underlying it all is a love, an affection, and a desire to seek after the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have a heart that is genuinely seeking after Him. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we not want to grow more like Him? You read about Him in the Gospels, and you see the grace and the humbleness that characterize the Lord Jesus. Why would we not want to grow more like Him? You know, dear believer, He is without compare. He is altogether lovely. Why would we not want to grow more like Him? One of my favourite little choruses is, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." That's what love, that's what growth needs. It needs a love towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs a rejection and a separation from the things of this world. That's where real growth can begin. And dear believer, we have been placed into this most wonderful position of blessing as being found in Christ. And now it is our responsibility to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit to be more like Him. And I want to challenge you tonight. Is there something in your life that is holding you back? Is there something, a part of your life perhaps, that you have not completely surrendered over to God? Hebrews says that we are to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles us, so that we can run with endurance the race that lies before us. Is there something in my heart, in your heart today, that is stopping you from reaching that full maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ? I read in Exodus, because the idea and the expectation is that we do grow. And in order to grow, we need food, we need strength, we need sustenance in order to help us to grow. And I think this passage here in Exodus is a really good example of, and a picture, if you like, of what it looks like for a Christian to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of Israel and their journeys through Exodus are such a wonderful shadow, such a wonderful picture of our journey through this world down here. And I think that's the most important thing almost. The context of this verse, or the context of this paragraph, is that the children of Israel were travelling through a wilderness. And we as believers need to recognise that we too are travelling through a wilderness. The world here can offer nothing that can in any way strengthen or deepen your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing this world can offer that can in any way satisfy your need to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot give you strength. It cannot give you sustenance for the way. The world is empty to a believer. They were travelling through a wilderness. In Deuteronomy, they call it the great and terrible wilderness. We need to recognise what we are passing through down here. What are we drawing upon for our sustenance? What are we drawing upon for our nutrition? What are we drawing upon for our strength? What are we drawing upon for our growth? Are we found rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of life itself? Or do we find our roots desperately seeking for satisfaction because we've rooted ourselves too closely into the world down here? We must recognize we are going through a wilderness, and the world will try and offer you all sorts of things to keep you satisfied, to keep you full, but there is nothing here for a believer. But that doesn't mean we're left here to our own devices. The same way that God provided for the children of Israel, God too has provided for the believer in his walk down here so that he can grow, so that he can find strength. It says he has filled the hungry with good things. And what are those? What is that good thing? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the man who said, "I am the bread of life." We can feed on Christ. What does that look like? We often throw these phrases around, don't we, sometimes? We must understand what these phrases mean. Feeding on Christ, I would suggest it means that precious time that you can spend in his presence, sitting at his feet, reading the Word of God, and praying to our God and Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. That precious moment that we might find when we can spend time and enjoy the presence of God. Reading God's word and praying. There's an old chorus. It says, "Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow." Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And it's those two things. I won't say too much as to prayer by itself. I've already been teased quite a lot about how long I went on about prayer at Ashley's Refresh weekend a few months ago. But prayer and reading the Bible are almost two inseparable things. They go together. They go together. And how important is it to spend time in the presence of God? Peter says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How else can we grow in grace unless we spend time in the presence of the one who personified grace itself? The one who personified obedience. The one who personified what it is to be humble. What a model we can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who took himself aside and prayed to his God and Father. And if he did it, how much more do we, as very imperfect creatures, need to find that time in the presence of God to speak, to converse, and to read in God's holy word. You know, there's a story right at the beginning of the Gospels when Jesus was a very little boy and his parents left Jerusalem, and for a whole day they didn't realize that he wasn't with them. It's so important, dear believer, as a Christian, to know what it is to be in the enjoyment, the conscious enjoyment of being in the Lord's presence. It took them a day to realize that Jesus wasn't there. And would your day look any different if you didn't spend that time in the morning praying or reading your Bible? We must find that time. Peter says, and I better quote it properly. Peter says that we should desire earnestly the pure mental milk of the word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed ye have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter here connects spiritual nourishment and growth with the reading of God's word. Paul says in Timothy, give yourself to much reading. He says in 2 Timothy, it talks about the sacred letters that will make you wise unto salvation. Are we absorbed in God's word? You know, there are many, many helpful books. There are many, many helpful commentaries. But let us never stray too far from God's word. It is without substitute. So in Exodus, and again, I don't want to go through this verse by verse. I just want to pick out a few things, really. It says in verse 21 of Exodus 16, it says, "And they gathered it," that's the manna, "every morning, every man as much as he could eat." Dear believer, I want to impress upon you, your heart and my heart, the importance of what it means to be daily found in the presence of God. Daily feeding off the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to normal food, we would expect every day we feed our bodies. And it is the same. We must feed our souls. We must feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must find that time to be in his presence. It says in the Gospels, doesn't it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What a privilege it is that we have God's word readily available to us. But our hearts, and I know this for myself, how complacent we can easily get with spending time in God's presence, with meditating over the words of Scripture. How complacent we can get, and how quickly. Numbers 21, it says that they our soul loathes this light bread. How quickly they got bored and complacent of the manna. And you know, it's the same when it comes to spending time feeding on Christ. It's the same when it comes to prayerfully studying our Bibles. If you get up one morning and you miss that opportunity, you have a busy day, you will find that your appetite for reading the Scriptures is slightly less the next day. And the next day. And weeks might go by. And eventually you'll find that it is nothing more than a dry book, because your appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ and the things concerning him diminish if we do not find that time to be in his presence on a daily basis. What a privilege it is to have God's word readily available to us. When it was the Queen's Jubilee, every school in England got sent a little book about the story of Queen Elizabeth and the history of all the things that she did. And it arrived at our school and the children were very, very excited. A book had been sent from the Queen. The Queen had sent us a book. In fact, a book for everybody. And you know, for at least a week, the children didn't want to read any other book other than this book that the Queen had sent. The Queen's book. Why would we want to choose anything else? Why would the Queen send a book to us? It was amazing for them. You know, dear believer, you hold in your hand the King's book. This is God's word to you and to me. Let us not grow complacent in finding that time. Let us not grow complacent in reading the Scriptures and what God has said in his word. You know, I think the answer to that complacency that creeps in is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will lead you into all the truth. He is the one that makes it come alive. He's the one that makes it fresh. He delights to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ on the pages of Scripture. And you know, the Holy Spirit delights to form the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as well. It says, verse 19, let no man leave any of it till the morning. Look at the freshness that was there. It says prophetically of the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? He openeth mine ear morning by morning. The fresh needs of the day can be found. The answer to them can be found by spending time daily in the presence of God and speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not go forward on old victories or old triumphs. Let us see each day what the Spirit is saying to us when we open our Bibles and when we pray. Let us feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that is able to sustain and strengthen your soul for this wilderness pathway. You know, open up the Gospels. See his movements of love and grace. Go back to the Old Testament. See the care and the detail and the love that God has put in there in the many prophecies that look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and read the epistles. Look at how the teachings of the Lord Jesus were put in action in the early church. Read the revelation, the secret that we have been led into of how this whole universe is going to close up and how God will see to it that his man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is rightly honoured. The Bible speaks all about the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read it, we're not reading it for academic purposes. We're not reading it for doctrine. We're reading it because it's all about a person. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit delights to shine a spotlight, if you like, on the pages of Scripture so that you can see Christ in everything that you read. The next thing, verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man as much as he could eat. When the sun became hot, it melted. The Bible is full of verses of Scripture, particularly in the Psalms. There's a psalm that says, Jehovah, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice. In the morning will I address myself to thee and will look up. The Bible is full of instruction about spending that first moment of the day in the presence of God. Spending that first moment of the day in the presence of the Lord Jesus, reading God's word and praying. We read in John, young men, you have overcome the wicked one. You know, there's somebody that is very interested in making sure that you make no progress at all in your faith. There is somebody that is very, very interested in making sure that you have no time, that your life is filled up with many, many things, so that you can't find the time to spend in the Lord's presence feeding on Christ. When you wake up in the morning, if your Bible's on the bedside table, suddenly you might get on your mobile phone a notification. A real desire to go and check the news or some other business might come up. It's very easy to lose that first moment of the day. And as it says in here in Exodus, it melted away. Before you know it, the day will take over and you will miss your opportunity for spending time in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Before you know it, you've not prayed, you've not read your Bible, you've not had that moment of meditation and enjoyment in the Lord's presence. The devil will do everything he can to make sure you do not get that time. Dear believer, he's lost the battle for your soul. The Lord Jesus has won your soul if you're a Christian. But he will do everything he can to make sure you make no progress. And to make sure that any potential you might have of growing in Christ is reduced down as far as possible. Let us find time. You know, you might be sitting here thinking that actually you find it quite easy. Perhaps it is your experience that you can wake up in the morning and you can read two chapters of Ezekiel and you can skip off to work singing all 27 verses of Man of Sorrows. But that's not my experience. Acts 2 says they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. It requires discipline. It requires habit, a good habit, a spirit-filled habit, but a habit nonetheless, that we find that time every morning. We have to realize we are in a battle. We are in a battle, dear believer. C.H. Spurgeon said that the devil doesn't care if you promise to read your Bible more, or pray more, or spend more time in the presence of the Lord Jesus, as long as you promise you're going to start tomorrow. Verse 16. This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded. Gather it of every man according to what he can eat. An omer, a pole, according to the number of your persons. You shall take every man for those that are in his tent. The last thing with the manna here was that they gathered it themselves. Now it seems from the text that the head of the household would go and gather what was needed for that tent. And I think it's a very important thought in Scripture that those of us that are heads of our houses, that we do take responsibility for making sure those in our houses are fed. We must read the Bible in our house. It must be a house characterized by God's word, by prayer, by knowing what it is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But the principle I think here that I wanted to bring out was they gathered it for themselves. Moses didn't go out and gather all the manna and then give it out. They had to get it for themselves. And that required exercise. It required action. And it's the same for you, dear believer. You must get things straight for yourself. When it comes to reading the Bible, you must get things straight in your soul for yourself. We talk a lot in the gospel about how you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour, and how right that is. How nobody else can take responsibility for it. You, dear believer, are responsible for making sure you have that time to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must make sure you get things straight in your own soul. Ask questions. If you're in a reading, particularly young people, ask the difficult questions. Ask the awkward questions. Get things straight in your soul. Challenge and test everything against the infallible Word of God. In order to grow, you have to gather the food yourself. Come to the reading. Come to the Bible. Come to any occasion you like. But you must get things straight in your own soul and challenge and test everything against God's Word. Doesn't matter who's saying it. You know, my hope today is that you'll go home today and check what I've said this evening against God's Word. Doesn't matter who's speaking or whose initials are on the front of the book you're reading. Come back to the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, the only authority that a Christian has to direct his pathway down here. We need to prayerfully meditate and study the Scripture carefully to gather these things for ourselves. Back in John, one of the things that a young man, one of the things that characterized a young man was that the Word of God abides in them. This is not just a memory test, a memory game. This is about having the Word of God abiding in you. Knowing that you, when you read those passages of Scripture, when you read those verses, they're not just words on a page, but they have a practical reality in your life. They have a practical reality in your life. We haven't just committed them to memory. We've committed them to heart. The psalmist could say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." And that comes from feeding on Christ. The more we feed on Christ, the more our lives down here should reflect him and his character as we grow in our relationship and in our maturity with him. You might have sat in these meetings for many years. And again, I challenge my heart with this. You sit and you listen with interest. But how much has got into your soul? Are we just surface level Christians? Are we surface level believers? Or do we have a desire to delve deeply into the Word of God and to feed richly on the Lord Jesus Christ? How easy it is to have the confidence of settling down, have the confidence of sheltering under the blood, and then settling down and going to sleep. The idea in Christianity is that we're constantly on the move. The New Testament is full of action words. We're to walk, we're to run, we're to stand, we're to flee, we're to grow. We are not to sit and go to sleep. They all gathered much, and then some gathered much, and some gathered little. Verse 17. You know, there is absolutely no lack on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes down to a desire. How much do you want of Christ? How much time are you willing to sacrifice to be in his presence? It comes down to a desire, and as we said at the start, a love and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to find ourselves deeply rooted in the Lord Jesus? You know, for a believer, he should be everything. He is the life source. He is the model. He is the true vine. He is the bread of life. He is our aim and our object. Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much more time should we spend in his presence, learning from him, desiring and seeking after the things that he seeks after, and to have a heart that is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I read finally in Philippians. I have no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how you get on. Christianity is a wonderful thing because it's not something we do by ourselves. We are placed amongst others. And we should have a desire in our heart, not just to see growth in our own lives, but to see growth in the lives of those that we gather together with. Paul says he has no one like-minded who will care with genuine feeling. Do we have a genuine care for those that we know and love? Do we have a genuine desire to see them grow in their faith? To see them become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we encouraging one another? Are we models? Those of you that are fathers, are you models for the young men? Those of you that might be young men, are you models for the little children? We have a responsibility to each other, to see, to encourage growth in one another. Do we care with genuine feeling? After this meeting, we will have lots of conversation, I'm sure, and we will ask all about jobs and schools and holidays and all sorts of things. And that's not wrong. It's good to spend that time in fellowship. But do we genuinely know how one another are getting on? Do we genuinely know and care about the spiritual progress of those that we walk together with? Do we have that genuine feeling, that genuine affection for those that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased at the same cost that he purchased you? Because Christianity is all about relationships. John talks in his epistle about love amongst the brethren. And perhaps more importantly than that, it's our relationship with God. In John's epistle, he talks about the fathers. And they're like the full growth in Christ, if you like. The top stone of what it means to be a mature Christian. What does it say about them? It says they've known him who was from the beginning. They had a deep, experience-based love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Not knowing things or knowing about him, but knowing the person himself through experience. You know, it's very easy to recite passages of scripture. It's very easy to look the part. It's very easy to sound the part, to amen in all the right places. But how's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How's your heart tonight, dear believer? Somebody said to me, we were talking at work about lockdown. Somebody said to me that it was like the world stood still. It was like the world was on pause. And it felt a bit like that. Everything just sort of stopped. But in spiritual things, and when it comes to being a Christian, there's no such thing as standing still. You are either moving and growing more like Christ, or you are moving and growing more like the world. Are you slowly but surely being transformed and formed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus as you feed on him? Or are you being conformed to the world and its standards? It is a challenge for my heart, probably more than anybody else in this room. But let us take what God has provided, the resource for the wilderness, so that we can find full growth as being in the Lord Jesus Christ. I finish with just one little verse in Timothy. Paul talks to Timothy, and he says lots of things. He says, give thyself to reading. And then he finally says, occupy thyself with these things. Be holy in them, so that progress may be manifest to all. Let us go on to full growth. Let us feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us find in him our rest and our repose. Let us find in him the enjoyment of what it means to be in his presence. And let us go on and grow to full maturity because we fed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked myself this question many times, and I'll ask it again tonight. Dear believer, are you growing or are you going backwards? Let us all, from this moment, make a promise, if you like, to ourselves to spend time in the presence of the Lord Jesus, feeding off him and growing in him, for his name's sake. Amen. I want to finish with a hymn that hasn't really got much to do with growing.